like this, to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you. It's always a delight to me to see each one of you, and you're always an encouragement to me. Your comments on the Bible class and the sermons, or just the fact of seeing you here, is encouragement to me, and I hope that that's mutual. I hope we encourage one another and we edify one another. I want to take the last opportunity I have, from the pulpit anyway, to encourage you to be sure to make plans to be here tonight. As our men that have been working on this sermon together have put hard work into it, and tonight's come that they're going to deliver the sermon. I'm sure they'll do a fantastic job. I'm looking forward to hearing them. I know you are too. And so there's seven men that will be participating in that. Eight if you count me doing the introduction, but we'll count them seven. And I'm looking forward to working with them in that sermon from age 13 to north of 40. And I have put myself in that category too, north of 40. So, Bells, you're not the only one. It's encouraging to see them and to see the work that they've been putting into that. And I hope that you really will put forth the effort, not just because you need to be here and encouraging them, but also because we assemble together to again have another opportunity to worship God. And so we all need to be here and worship God and encourage these men in the work that they are striving to do. And we appreciate them, and it's been an honor to me to be able to play a small part in that, to help them with the outline and just give a few suggestions, and they didn't need many. And so you need to come back and hear them. I want us to think about this morning another sermon about God's Word. Many sermons could be delivered about God's Word. That's a big, broad subject as we think about the Word of God, the Bible. And we could do a sermon, as we have before, on things that are accomplished by the Word of God. We could talk about what God's Word does for us in our individual lives, and all of those make excellent sermons because we need to know them, especially in the midst of a world that we live in today, where so many times individuals go beyond or fall short of the Word of God, and many times they don't even go to the Word of God to have the authority with the things that they're practicing, teaching, believing, and so forth. And so any time that we can spend time together thinking about the Word of God, then it's time well spent. This morning, our sermon, our brief time together, I want us to think about some things that the Bible likens the Word of God to. You might could, off the top of your head, maybe make you a list of some things that you recall the Bible saying that the Word of God is like to this, that, or the other. It makes a good sermon. We're not going to look at all of them, but I think I want to share with you about nine of them this morning in the sermon. The first one that I want you to think about is found in the book of Jeremiah. And I hope that you'll get an outline, or hopefully you have one. It looks like they're gone in the back. But if you want one after the lesson, you let me know and I'd be happy to make you a copy of one. But in the book of Jeremiah 23, and in verse 29, God, through the penman of the prophet Jeremiah, stated this: "Is not my word like as a fire?" We'll stop there. And we'll come back to verse 29 and pick up another point. But I want you to notice that God is saying, "Is not my word like as a fire?" When you turn back to Jeremiah chapter 20, a passage I shared with you not many sermons ago, verse 9, Jeremiah said, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." Now watch this. "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing." In other words, I was weary with withstanding or holding back. And he says, "I could not stay." I hope that each of us could relate to that and say that though there may be times when I question whether or not it's doing any good, though there may be times where I question whether or not anyone is listening to what I'm saying, I'm not going to quit. And if I did try to quit, his word would be, like Jeremiah says, a fire in my heart, shut up in my bones. I could not forbear. I could not help but to preach the gospel of Christ. Someone once asked the question, if you can help, or if you can keep from preaching, you don't need to preach. That's a good thought in that. If you can help and stay back from preaching, don't preach. But if it's, as it were, as Jeremiah is saying, that if I tried to withhold from doing that, if I tried to stay and not say anything, it would be like a fire in my bones. I've got to preach the gospel. And you need to preach. You need to keep on keeping on. And so in Jeremiah 23:29, the Bible likens the Word of God with a fire. But then he goes on to say, it's not my word, like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like the hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. God's Word is powerful. You think about hardened hearts, hardened with sin and complacency, hard-heartedness that we see in the world today. I tell you, the only thing that will pierce through it and break it is what? The Word of God. Now, sometimes we've got to remind ourselves to get ourselves out of the way. I've told you that before. I've got to keep myself from getting in the way and let the Word of God have free course, that it might pierce the souls of individuals, the hearts and the minds of individuals, and let the Word do its work. Because the Word of God is more powerful than me. It's not about me, it's about the Word of God. And over, the Bible talks about the power of God's Word. Like in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12, for the Word of God is quick, that means it's living. And Jesus said as much in John 6:63 when he said, the Spirit quickens or makes alive, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are what? They are life. Again, that's John 6:63. The Word of God is quick, alive. It's not a dead letter. It's quick, powerful, he says. Now think of that. It's no wonder that Paul could write by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans 1:16 and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. Incidentally, that word power comes from the original Greek word dunamis, and that's the word from which we get our English word dynamite. The Word of God is powerful. It has saved individuals. You think about the power that God's Word has in the lives of individuals. Think about what the Word of God has done for your life. If you're here this morning, you've obeyed it. Did it make any changes in your life? I'm sure it did. I want you to think about that for a moment. So powerful that it changed your life. It changed who you were, who you was, what you used to do, what you used to say maybe, places you used to go, you don't go anymore. Why? Because the Word of God instructs you to do better. I'm telling you, the Word of God to do a lot for our lives. And really, the Word of God is the answer to all of our problems today. The chaotic world in which we live in today and in our nation, all the fighting and wrangling that we see going on today will never be solved until individuals get back to the book of books, the Bible. And they do what the Bible says. It'll make a difference. You believe it will? It'll take an individual that gets angry and answers in anger, and he'll recall what the Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. It'll take an individual, for example, that may be given to thievery and steal for a living maybe. He'll say, I'm not going to do that anymore, because the Bible says, let him who sows steal no more, but rather let him work with his own hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to those who don't have. Ephesians 4:28. It'll take an individual who don't care about how they say what they say, don't care whether or not it discourages someone else, and they'll say, I'll put a stop to that. I'm going to begin to encourage people, because the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Ephesians 4. And then verse 29. It'd take a wife who says, you know what, I don't care about what my husband does. I don't care about who he is, and I don't care about the God-given role that he is to play within the home. And it'd take that woman and make her submit to her husband. Why? Because the Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Ephesians 5 and then verse 23. You think the Word of God is powerful? It is if you obey it. If you'll do what it says, it'll make a difference in your life. It'll take a husband who don't care for his wife as he should, doesn't respect her as he should, doesn't honor her as he should, and he'll love her even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:25. The Word of God is powerful. And it'll take an individual who can't see beyond themselves. just self-absorbed with the needs of self, and they'll do what the Apostle Paul penned in Galatians 6:2, and bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I tell you, the Word of God is powerful. And I hope that we appreciate what the Bible over and over says about the book that I hope you have out this morning. And you're following along with me and listening to the words of life. But also, the Bible likens the Word of God as to a lamp and light. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, 104 and 105, appreciate Ethan doing the good job he did in reading Psalm 119, 97. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. In Psalm 119, 104, the psalmist declared, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is, now watch this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know why so many people today don't know what they ought to be doing? They're trying to walk in darkness. They have removed themselves from the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And they're trying to go it alone, trying to do it by themselves without any instruction from God. The only instruction we have from God is recorded in the Bible. And if I remove myself from the light of what the Bible teaches, then I'm bound to stumble. I'm bound to fall. I'll surely be lost if I try to do that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Have you tried to walk in darkness physically? Maybe a light went out. Maybe the electricity went out. Maybe someone turned the lights out on you, whatever the case may be. It's difficult to see. In the book of 2 Peter 1, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. The Word of God is a light unto our way as we make our earthly pilgrimage. Don't try to go through life without the Word of God. Study it. Meditate upon it. Hide it in your heart that you'll know what God would have you to be doing. It's a lamp and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Is it precious to you? It is to me. I hope it is to all of us. But also the Bible likens the Word of God unto milk. Probably a passage that's familiar to you in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2. As newborn babes, you could finish the rest of that, couldn't you? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. We're commanded to grow, 2 Peter 3, and in verse 18, the last verse of the book, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't try to touch a spiritual growth and let it depend upon the words of men. You'll stunt your growth. You won't grow that way. I tell you, there's a lot of words that are issued forth from pulpits today. Is it any wonder why a lot of people are starving when you listen to a lot of the preaching done today? Hardly any Bible is even used. The fanciful stories, jokes, and stories. I was listening to a sermon, part of it last night. A man, by and large, does a good job in his preaching, but just so happened the sermon I listened to was just filled full of stories. That won't save individuals. You've got to be careful about that. The only thing that will prompt the growth of you and me is the sincere milk of the Word. Book, chapter, verse, preaching. To do what God would have us to do. And preach His Word. A lot of opportunities are missed. And preachers don't preach the Word of God. A lot of preaching today, but as one preacher said before, Jesus is having a hard time getting His say in. Because a lot of Bible is not being taught. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Jesus said, recall He was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit after being baptized, and He was there for 40 days. He didn't eat anything, and afterward He was a hunger. The tempter came and tempted Him. The first temptation that He gave to Him, that He put before Him, He was hungry, hadn't ate anything in 40 days. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus said, it is written, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what we're to live by. Sincere milk of the Word, but also the Word of God is likened in the Bible as incorruptible seed. A lot today is said about being born again. And there's no doubt that we must be born again. Jesus' entrance into the kingdom upon being born again in John 3, verses 3 and 5. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But how is it that we are born again? That's the question. Well, Peter answers it in 1 Peter chapter 1 when he says in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. There's a time in which a man may have glory, but it's going to fade away. So, preacher, I don't know, does it really fade away? Well, those of you who are older and even younger, pull out a picture. See if you look like you used to look. I don't. I don't look like the person that I used to look like. Looks change. Our faces are going to wrinkle. We're not going to look like we used to look. And no need, all the stuff in the world that you could pour on is not going to change the wrinkles from coming. They're going to come. For all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Think of that. Incorruptible seed. Luke 8:11. The seed of the kingdom is what? The word of God. We need to plant that seed in the minds of honest and good people that they might hear it, believe it, and obey it. The word of God. And what it's likened unto. But also, the Bible likens the Word of God as unto a sword. I read from you the first part of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 earlier. For the Word of God is quick, powerful, now listen, and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's a lot of sharp swords, aren't there? The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now listen why. Listen to what it can do. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Think of that. Especially the last part of that. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God will reveal as to exactly why we're thinking what we're thinking and doing what we're doing. Deep down, when no one else knows, God knows. And we'll look into the Bible, be honest with ourselves. We'll see a reflection of who we are. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Sharper than any two-edged sword. We're not engaged in physical battle. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and then verse 17, take unto you the sword of the Spirit. Remember, he's listening to the whole armor of God. The last one he talks about is taking the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. We're not out here fussing and fighting and waging a physical warfare. In fact, when Jesus was arrested and later to be crucified, when they came to arrest him, Peter put out his sword and cut off the ear of a certain servant of the high priest, Malchus. And Jesus cared not for that. He said, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that shall take the sword shall perish with the sword. Matthew 26:52. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. When he stood before Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews, but my kingdom is not from hence. John 18:36. We're not waging a physical battle, but a spiritual one. As Paul would say in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's Ephesians 6:12. And we write to Timothy and say, lay hold or fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6:12. The folks were ill prepared and ill equipped. If we go into the spiritual battle that we wage today without the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. But the Bible likens the Word of God into a mirror. At this point, I take you to the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1, he begins this section that we find in James chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now watch this. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I tell you, we need to spend time looking into the Word of God, the perfect law of liberty, that we can see who we are and what we ought to be and what we ought to be doing. By the way, how are you doing spending time on looking into the perfect law of liberty? How am I doing with that? We'll never know our spiritual condition before God except we look into the Word of God. He gives us all things according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called you to glory and virtue, 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 3. The mirror, two more points. God's Word is likened unto rain and water. Come with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And notice what the Bible says in verse 10. And we'll read verse 11 as well. He says, after making this statement to them in verse 8, that your thoughts are not my thoughts and my ways are not your ways, and as the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways than yours. He says, for as the rain cometh down in snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. God says, as the rain comes down, the snow falls, and they don't return, they go forth and they water the earth and it brings forth, so shall my word be. It did not return unto me void. I think about a passage over in the book of Acts, chapter 13. The Word of God is the Word of salvation. God sent us, given us His Word that we might read it, believe it, and obey it and be saved from our sins. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, and then verse 26, the Bible says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you it is the Word of this salvation sent. The Word of salvation. It will accomplish what God has sent it forth to accomplish, even to the saving of the soul, if we'll obey. In Psalm 19, last point. In Psalm 19, 7 through 10 talks about the Word of God and really how precious it is. The precepts of God and so forth, pure and right, rejoice in the heart. And in verse 10, he says that they are more valuable than gold, more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, he says. Now watch this. And sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. God's Word is sweet. It's precious. It's valuable. No value can be placed upon the Word of God. It's refreshing to the soul that is weary in this sin-sick world. I assure you it is. The book of Revelation chapter 10. John records in verse 1 that he saw a mighty angel come down from heaven and was clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. His face were as with the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. Verse 2 records that this angel had a book, a little book in his right hand. In verse 8 he was told to go and to take this book. And so he went to the angel. In verse 9 it's recorded. Give me this book. He told him to take it and to eat it. And it'll be bitter in thy belly, but sweet as honey in thy mouth. John said, I took the book, I ate it. As soon as I had eaten it, it was sweet in my mouth as honey, but my belly was bitter. And he was told in the last verse of that chapter, for ye shall prophesy, for ye must prophesy before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. God's Word is sweet as honey. But there's also a bitterness to proclaiming the Word of God. It's sad when God's Word is proclaimed and individuals reject it, isn't it? It's sad when God's Word is proclaimed but individuals refuse to even accept what it says. That figure in Revelation chapter 10 brings us back to Ezekiel chapter 3 when Ezekiel sees in chapter 2 a scroll. And he's told in chapter 3, what you see, you take it and you eat it. And then you go and you speak my words unto the people. Ezekiel says, I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And God said to him in verse 5, you go and you speak my word. I'm not sending you to a people of a strange speech or a hard language, but I'm sending you to the house of Israel. You speak my word to them. Sent to his own people. And in verse 7, God says, they won't hearken unto you. For they will not hearken unto me. The house of Israel. The whole house of Israel, he says, all the house of Israel is an impudent and hard-hearted people. That word impudent actually means a stiff forehead. In other words, hard-headed and hard-hearted. But God said, you speak my word anyway. Yes, God's word was in his mouth as sweet as honey. But it's sad when individuals reject it. I couldn't tell you. I'm convinced known only unto God, because I sure don't know. The sermons that I've preached in time past where I know there were people in the audience who were separated from God because of their sin, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, who needed to obey the gospel, or who had once obeyed but fallen away and needed to be restored and never once responded to the invitation. Would not respond to it. Can that be said of you today that you're here and you're not a Christian? Are you going to respond in obedience? I hope you do. Or are you going to be hard-headed and hard-hearted and respond not to the message of the gospel? If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you have opportunity to become one. By hearing the gospel, Romans 10, 17, believing in John 8, 24. Repenting of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. And confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32. And being baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2, 38. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord. And you're here this morning, you need to be restored. Why not do that? Turn from your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.